Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be in your house of worship. And we just ask and pray, Lord, that you would remove those things that would hinder us from receiving your words. Those things that would distract us. But more so, Lord, as we listen to your words, that you would speak to us, that we may take it and apply it to our lives. Lord, that we may look at your word and look at our hearts and our lives and the way we conduct ourselves and the way we portray ourselves, Lord, as believers in Christ. As though those that have faith in you and trust in you and hope in you. This is our prayer. We pray this in your name, O Lord. Amen. So last weekend, Brother Joe had a message from 1 Corinthians 13, a very well-known chapter, known as the love chapter, one that's read in funerals and also homes and, weddings and so forth, mostly weddings. And as I was reading that chapter, the last verse of chapter 13 really stuck out to me. And it says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these are charity." And I had to stop and think of my life in my daily walk at work, at home. That first attribute, if you will, or virtue, or the first, I believe it's a virtue. Faith is what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning to speak about. And I had to really think about my life and look at my life, because every day I'm challenged. And I believe you are challenged as well every day. Some perhaps greater, some not to the extent. And the question that I ask myself, and the question I ask you this morning, and perhaps that could be the heading of this morning's sermon, is, are you content with the level of faith that's within you? And I don't know that that's something that we often pause and think about, our faith. Our faith, our belief, our trust. For this morning's meditation, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. We're going to be reading five verses. The first, chapter 8, from verse 5 through 10. And it says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not so found great faith, no, not one in Israel." I've often thought about this portion of Scripture. And when I took on the role of a management position at the dealership, this is one of the I don't know if it was maybe when I was doing my studies first or second that I actually read. And any one of us that are in any place of authority like that can relate to this man. Well, if you're a mother or a father, you can relate too, because if you have children, you tell them to come and they come, you tell them to go and they go. If you're a boss, you have the authority to dish out responsibilities. And I thought about this portion of scripture. I thought about this centurion. He was one that had authority over 100 men. And there was one of his 100 men that was sick. And I see the relationship that he had, and a close relationship that he had with his servant. Scripture doesn't tell us that this man was a follower of Jesus. It doesn't tell us that he had a relationship with Jesus. But it tells us somehow, some way, this man, this centurion, this boss, heard of a man named Jesus that could heal. And not only that he can heal, but he can heal by the saying of his words, by speaking. And we see the scripture tells us that Jesus wanted to come to this man's house and heal him. He had that desire to do so. And the centurion's faith, he says, just speak the word. Just say it, and I know it will happen. And how did Jesus describe his faith? He described it as being great. So is your level of faith great? Is my level of faith great? And that's something that I really had to think about. And I'm thinking, well, I don't, you know, this past couple of weeks, or actually last couple of months, with the challenges going on in my life, I don't know that my faith has been all that great. We know in Hebrews 11, which is considered the faith chapter, that in the first verse, faith is described as, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God. And here's the correlation between a man that says, just speak your word and it'll happen. And Jesus and God spoke the world, the word, and creation came into being. By speaking the word. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith is looking through spiritual eyes, not the physical eyes. But there's also what's called a natural faith. The natural faith is one that we have in perhaps the pilots that are flying the airplane. We have faith in them that they're going to get us from point A to point B without crashing the plane. Our doctors, we have faith in our doctors that if we're not feeling well, we go to the hospital or we go to urgent care and the doctors are going to prescribe the medication that we need so that we can get better. And then we have the faith in the nurses that they're going to take care of us. We have faith in the mechanics that they're going to fix our cars so that when we pick them up and we go driving, especially in California, when we're driving in an hour and back, you know, to church back and forth, that we're going to get there on time. We have faith in our plumber. We have faith in our electrician. We have faith in our contractor. And we have faith that they're going to perform their job responsibilities to our satisfaction. But when challenges come our way, when we are tried, Do we have that level of faith that God will see us through? Mark 11:22, for those of you that are, I'm going to be reading quite a few scripture references because the Bible talks a lot about faith, and there's a lot of examples about faith. But we fail to go back and read and get encouraged. Mark 11:22, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter calling to remember and saying to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. We've heard the saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. The seed of the grain of a mustard seed is very, very small. And if I compare my faith to the seed of a mustard grain. I don't know. But you know what? Isn't there a quartet song that says, Little is much when God is in it? Romans 12:3 says, For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, that he not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you and I are given a measure of faith. Do we exercise it? Do we want more of that faith? Do we want to have a faith like this centurion? Lord, just speak it, just say it, and it'll happen? We can. Romans 10:17 tells us, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How much time are we spending in God's word? How much time are we spending in prayer and meditation? The amount of time that you spend reading the Bible determines the amount and the quality of your faith. The amount of time you spend reading the Bible determines the amount and quality of your faith. And when challenges come our way, and we're not in the Word, don't say God is silent when your Bible is closed 6 days out of the week. Here's a well-known scripture that we go back to and we talk about quite a bit. John 20:27. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. We know once Christ was crucified and resurrected, and Thomas said, I won't believe it until I see it, until I feel it. And when Christ appeared and said, "Thomas, touch my hand. It's me." So is believing, so is seeing believing? Or is believing seeing? The world's view is seeing is believing. I see it, therefore I believe it. But is that faith? Is that what Hebrews 11:1 describes faith as? Luke 5:20 tells us, one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting. They came from every village of Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house and lay him before Jesus' feet. However, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went to the roof and lowered him on this mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith. He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." That faith is called a collective faith. His friends knew that this man Jesus could heal him, but they couldn't find a way to get to him. I'm thinking recently of two situations where there was a woman that was challenged with cancer and had very short time to live. And the petition was brought before the church, and the church had a special prayer for her. She's still with us today. The other thought goes to a relative of mine, one that we were praying for, Logan, where we believe and we know that Jesus can heal him after his horrific car accident. And we've prayed for him. And we keep praying for him. And he's on the mend and he's getting better. That's collective faith. That we have that faith in Jesus that he can heal if it's his will. Faith gives victory that overcomes the world. Faith conquers the impossible. But we fail to exercise our faith. There's one thing that really gets in our way and robs us of exercising that faith, and that's worrying. That's being worried. If we look at Matthew 6:25-35, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking a thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We minimize our faith when we give in to worry. Have faith in God. Is what Jesus is saying. Because God never fails. I read a quote saying, "Worry, it's not what you're eating, but what's eating you that matters. And if we give in to worry, worry proves that we don't believe that God will take care of us. Stretch your faith and see what God can do. And I'm not going to stand up here and say, you know what? This pertains to me first. I think God wanted me to look at this, to apply this to my life as well. There was another good lesson on faith that we all know. Abraham. When God told Abraham to take Isaac up on that altar, on that mountain, and offer his son as a sacrifice, we look at the faith that Abraham had, that he did what was told of him or asked of him to do. Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah or the mountain of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Genesis 22:2. We know the story. When they got so far, Isaac looked at his servant and he said, "Wait here." He says, "God will provide us a sacrifice." One of two things Abraham would either believe: that God would provide another sacrifice, or if that he sacrificed his son, that he would raise his son back up again. And we'll read that in Hebrews. See, God is good all the time. He's our Father, he's our provider, he's our healer, he's our rock. He's our fortress, he's our high tower, he's our shield. And he's there when you need him and when you don't. Faith is expecting and believing for the best. Worry does the opposite. Worry expects and believes for the worst. Philippians 4:6 teaches us and tells us not to worry, but bring our requests to God who hears and answers. When we pray in faith, we can expect results. Instead of receiving the worst, we can believe for God's best. First Peter 5:6 and 7 instructs us, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, and he cares for me." What a promise to remember. And in closing, I would like to read the rest of the verses of Hebrews 11. From verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through this also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, which was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in the figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and commanded concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he came to the years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and treasure in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured in seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest that destroyed from the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as the dry land, and the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that had believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? The time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, the sons of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, vexed, valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead to rise to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockery and scourging, yea, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stopped, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. For all these, having obtained a good report through faith, not having received the promise, God providing some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So the question I would like to leave and ask you, and I'm going to ask myself the question, if someone is going to write about my faith and what I did, would it be written in this book? Are you satisfied with the level of faith that you have in God? May God bless his word to his body.